Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Chav Zayin. We're already halfway down the Omid, and Mirtz Hashem, we will try to do an extra Omid today in order to help make up for the first day of Rosh Hashanah that obviously people can't listen to the shir online, and this will make their lives hopefully a little bit easier by catching up a little bit now. We're learning today Leilui Nishmas Meir Saievitz, Celia Aronson, and Herman Kahana. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin about a little bit more than halfway down the daf, already at the second two dots with the words, Iboy Luhu, the yes of the base medrash of following Shaila. If we talked yesterday about the Kinyan Agav, that via the sale of a karka, of an area that has a chrayis on it, so then via that sale of the item that has a chrayis, you can also bring along with the sale metaltalin. So the Gemara is now asking, what happens if the two deals over here, the karka and the metaltalin, are different mechanisms of sale? One is a sale and one is a gift. So the sadeh is b'mecher. The field is being sold. Can you bring along metaltalin with a gift? So via the kinyan that you're making on the field, can you give a matana of metaltalin at the same time? So the Gemara brings a raya from what we learned in yesterday's year. Yes, you can. Tashma, because we learned in yesterday's year, Yeshua. When Rabbi Gamliel was dividing up his crops for the tithes, when he took off the Trumas of Isus and he was giving them out, so he gave it out to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was a Levi, and he said, that tenth, that Maaser Rishon that I'm going to give to Yeshua ben Hananya, so that is a matana to him, and umakomo muskolo, and the way he acquired it was by renting out the space that Rabbi Gamliel had the had given him the produce from. And therefore, in this situation, the rental, which is like a sale, so that was one type of a kinyan, and the kinyan agav with the matana of the Maaser Rishon, that is a matana. So you see clearly from that story, Shmamina, that in fact, if the field is a mecher, and the metaldolin are a matana, that you can do this via kinyan agav. A similar question was asked in the base Madrash, Yibayluhu, Sodili Echud, Metaldolin Yacher, can you do two different people? One can be the kinyan with the karka, and the other would be a matana with the metaldolin, that is the kinyan agav, that would be to another person. Mahu, is that allowed or not? So we also try to bring a proof from the story with Rabbi Gamliel, that he gave over to Rabbi Akiva the karka, and Rabbi Akiva was zoche for the matnos aniyim, for the maiser ani, for the aniyim. So it looks like it's two different people, Rabbi Akiva acting on his own, and Rabbi Akiva acting on behalf of the aniyim. So Toshma, let's bring a raya from there. When Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, the iser shani osid lomo, the maiser ani that I am going to be giving over here, the one-tenth that's maiser ani, so I'm giving that to Rabbi Akiva, not only Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, and Kidei Shiiska Boli Aniyim. He was going and getting that matana, the maiser ani, on behalf of the Aniyim, but Umakomo, but the place that a produce was on, was being rented Umakomo Muskolo to Rabbi Akiva. So this looks like a situation where the matana is to one person, the aniyim, and the sale or the rental is to another person, here Rabbi Akiva. So looks like, again, Shmami know that should be a good proof that they can be to two different people. Where it says, no, lav dafka, because when it said that it was muskar to Rabbi Akiva, it didn't mean muskar to Rabbi Akiva, my muskar, it meant muskar lo maiser. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva was acting as the shaliach for the aniyim, and therefore both the field was being rented to, not Rabbi Akiva, but to the aniyim, and the matana was being given to the aniyim, so therefore you can't bring a raya. You can't bring a raya one way or the other, but you certainly can't bring a raya that this would be sadeh liyachud matatan liyacher, that would be acceptable. Alternatively, the Gemara says, v'boi yisemo, that shiny Rabbi Akiva was different, because the yad aniyim hava, he was basically acting on behalf of the aniyim, and therefore, in this situation, he was actually functioning on behalf of the aniyim for both the haskara, for the rental, as well as for the receiving of the matana. So again, it's not two different people, it was really the aniyim. So therefore, you can't bring a raya one way or the other to this question, and Gemara leaves it unanswered. Amar Rava, then Rava tells us, Lo shanu elashinosan demei kulan, that which we said the kinyan agav works to transfer over the metaltalin, that's only in a situation where they were totally paid for. It was the money that was being given over that allowed this kinyan agav to work. However, avolol nasan demei kulan, if he didn't pay for all of the metaltalin, so then the kinyan agav can only work for what he paid for. Lokona elu kineged ma'osav. So, for example, the metaltalin was a car. So the car is being transferred over via kinyan agav to the other person. So the car costs $20,000. He only gave him $10,000. So therefore, in this situation, Rav is telling us he would only own half of the car. He wouldn't own the entire car, because the only way the kinyan agav works for the metaltalin is because the money is paying for the entire sale of the metaltalin. And that's what Rava said, and there's a brisa in support of Rava. Tanya Kavasi the Rava. Again, Rava was an Amora. They didn't necessarily know all the brises, so we often have that we bring a brisa in support of what the Amora said, even though ideally, Rava should have quoted the brisa, but he didn't know the brisa. They knew all the Mishnayos, but they didn't necessarily know all of the brises. So here we always have Tanya Kavasi the Rava. As I've pointed out many times, it never says Tnan Kavasi the Rava, because then Rava would have known, and he never would have said it on his own. He would have said it over the name of the Mishnah. So here the brisa supports what Rava said, Tanya Kavasi the Rava, because the brisa states, Yofe koach hakesef mikoach hashtar, that money has certain advantages over a shtar. It's more powerful than a shtar in certain ways, and likewise, the koach hashtar mikoach hakesef, and in some ways, a shtar has more power than money. So we're telling over here that in some ways, a kinyan with the money is stronger than a kinyan with a shtar, and in some ways, a kinyan with a shtar is stronger than a kinyan with the money. In what way? Now, yofa koach hakesef from a shtar, in some ways, the power of a kinyan that's made with kesef is more powerful than a kinyan made with shtar. Under what circumstances? Shakesef, money, podim bo hekdeshos, umayis usheni. Money can be used to go and redeem an item that was sanctified, it was made into hekdesh, or it can go and redeem produce that is mayis usheni produce, and you can desanctify the mayis usheni and eat the mayis usheni outside Yerushalayim, because the kedusha of the mayis usheni produce now went onto this coin. So money can go and desanctify hekdesh, so the hekdesh is now chulin, the mayis usheni is no longer mayis usheni, it's now chulin, and the kedusha of the hekdesh, the kedusha of the mayis usheni, goes onto money. Whereas a shtar cannot do that. Mashein came b'shtar. Shtar doesn't work that way. And vice versa, the yofa koach hashtar, and a shtar is more powerful than money in the following way, shashtar motzi bevas Yisrael, mashein kein bekesef, that a shtar, meaning a document, meaning a get, can go and release a woman from her marriage, whereas money cannot do that. The woman can't pay $1,000 and say, I'm no longer married to you. The husband can't give her $1,000 and say, I'm no longer married to you. No, you need a get, you need a shtar in order to release a woman from marriage, whereas money cannot do that. So we gave examples now where money was more powerful than a shtar in terms of redemption of hekdesh and maaser sheni, and we gave example where shtar is more powerful than money in terms of making a woman no longer married to her husband. Furthermore, the yofa koach shneim, both ishtar and kesef are more powerful in some ways than chazaka, mikoach chazaka, and vice versa. The koach chazaka, a chazaka type of a kinyan, is more powerful mikoach shneim than ishtar and kesef. Again, the Braisa tells us in what ways. Yofa koach shneim, money and ishtar, kesef ushtar, they are more powerful than chazaka in the fact that shneim konim the eved ivri. Both of them can go and acquire an eved ivri. An eved ivri can become an eved ivri because money is paid. Let's say he owed money, so the money that is paid for him to be in servitude, or he sells himself because he's destitute. So money can make a person into an eved ivri, and the shtar likewise can transfer this person from being a full-fledged free person into being an eved ivri. Whereas Masha Ein came a chazaka, you can't make a chazaka on an Eved Ivri. You can't say, Eved Ivri, go and carry my bags to the bathhouse like you can with an Eved Kanani, and that would make the Eved into an Eved Kanani, but that can't make the person into an Eved Ivri. So a chazaka doesn't work to be kona an Eved Ivri, whereas Kesef and Shtar do. But the other way around, the Yofa Koach Chazaka, Chazaka is more powerful than Kesef and Shtar in the following way, Shechazaka, doing an act of chazaka, mochalo esesados b'esem medinos kinam kula. That if a person makes a chazaka on one field, and with this chazaka he wants to acquire 10 fields that are in 10 different places, so all he has to do is make a chazaka on one of the fields, and that kinyan chazaka on this field will work for all the other fields as well, even though they're in 9 other fields and in 9 other countries. So a single chazaka action on one of the 10 fields can go and acquire all 10 of the fields, even though they're all in 10 different places in 10 different countries. So, kinam kulam, you can make a kinyan with all of them. We turn to Rav Zayin Amud Beis. However, that doesn't work in regards to kesef and to shtar. And here's the proof. By medvar mamurim, under what circumstances are we talking about that you can make the kinyan for all of the fields? Shenas and lo demei kulam. That's when he paid for all of them. Ah, this is the raya, the tani kavasi, to what Rava said. Since he paid for all 10 fields, even though he did a chazak on one of them, so all of them come into play as being a valid kinyan. However, but if he didn't pay for all 10 of the fields, so then then he only acquires the amount of the fields that he paid for. So let's say there were 10 fields, we'd only pay for 5 of them. So via this kinyan on one of the fields, the chazak on one of the fields, so he would only acquire those 5 fields which he paid for. But the other 5 fields, he would not acquire. Ah, this is the Tanya Kavasi the Rava. Now, in addition, this is Messiah Lele Shmuel. This goes in accord with what Shmuel said. Because what does Shmuel say? The Omer Shmuel, Mochalo Esasodus B'Esa Medinos, Kivin Shechzit B'Achaz B'Em Koneh Eskulam. Shmuel had said, similar to the Braisa, that if a person purchased 10 fields in 10 different places, in 10 different countries, so as soon as he makes a chazak in one of the fields, so then he acquires all of them. Now, Ravacha, who is the son of Ravika, said, "Hey, that you should know, because She'ilu Mochalo Eser Behemos B'Avserechot, as opposed to with the karka that it works, one kinyan on one of the fields can be makayim the kinyan on all of the fields. So that's different than by an animal, because Rav Acha, Rei de Ravika, said that if a person shilu masalo eser behemos biav serechot, that if a person were to try to acquire 10 behemos, and they're all attached to one rein, and they're all attached to Afsor Echot, so then, the Amalei Kni, and he said, I want you to acquire all 10 of these, when I hand them over to you, Biafsor Echot, so Milo Kani, wouldn't that work? So too over here. Just like with the field, you make a kinyan on one field, you can acquire all 10 of the fields, so too. This seems to be a right to that, that by only making a kinyan on one answer over here, you can acquire all 10 of the behemos. Where it says, Lav Davka, that's not a good raya. Armulei, Talmidim said back to Ravacha, Brei de Ravika, Lav Davka, Mi Dami, those cases aren't comparable. Hossam, in the case of the animals, Igudu Biyado, they're all tied together to the one rein, they're all tied together to the Asar. So therefore, that's why when you make a kinyan on one, you're really making a kinyan on all of them simultaneously. However, in the cases of the land, Hocha Ein Igudu Biyado, they're not all tied together, they're separate entities, they're separate lands in 10 different countries, so therefore, Lav Davka, she can bring us a riot, because you can make a kinyan on the 10 animals with one Asar, then you automatically can make a kinyan on 10 different fields in 10 different countries. Alternatively, you can say the exact opposite way. An alternative way to say this, that Rav Acha Brei de Ravika was questioning Shmuel's statement. Rav Acha Brei de Ravika, Teda de Lokani. In fact, one could argue to Shmuel that you're not Kona in this situation, because Ilu Mosa Lo Eser Behemos Be'Avser Echad V'Amalo Zu Kini Mikani. He questioned, he said, if you were to hand over 10 animals with one rein, would you in fact acquire all 10 animals? And according to this version, he was saying, no, you would not acquire them. In other words, you'd have to make a separate kinyan on each of the 10. Therefore, why are you saying in terms of the field that a kinyan on one makes an acquisition of all 10? So in this second version, Rav Acha Brei de Ravika is questioning Shmuel because he had a different girsa in the case with the animals, Masalo B'Avser Echad. According to the first girsa, he was konadem. According to the second version, he is not konadem. So this is a kasha in the second version on Shmuel, as opposed to in the first version, it was approved to Shmuel. And where it says again, the two cases aren't comparable. Mi domi, they're not comparable, because hasum gufi muchlokim, in the case of the animals, the reason why it says lokani is because it was 10 separate animals. They're not one entity, not one body. Yes, they're connected via a rein, via the asar, but they're still 10 separate animals. As opposed to in the case of the karka, hocha sadda di ara chadu. The earth is one continuous entity. The earth is all connected. And therefore, you can argue that Shmuel does, that even though by the animals they're considered 10 separate entities, the karka, even though it's in 10 separate countries, 10 fields in 10 separate countries, they're all connected. And therefore, sadna, the arachadu, all the land is considered one mass, one entity, it's all earth, and therefore they are considered connected. And therefore, making chazak in one can make a chazak in all the other 9, even though by an animal that would not be the case. So, Rav Acha Brei de Ravika, in the first version, tried to bring a raya to Shmuel, which we schlugged up. In the second version, he tried to schlug up Shmuel, and we schlugged up his attempting to schlug up Shmuel. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, that we had said that if a person is chay of a shua of modeb mixas, a shua daraisa on metaltalin. So again, Reuven had lent Shimon $100. And Shimon says, I paid you back 50, I stole you 50. And Reuven says, nothing doing, you stole me the 100. So that's a shua daraisa of modeb mixas. And we had said that once you're obligated to make a shua daraisa of modeb mixas on metaltalin, so if there is also a piece of property that's involved, you can add on to that. That's called zokikin. You can go and throw on to this shvua that you're chayiv to make, you can throw on additional things that he should be mashbi on. So Gemara says, where do we know this? Amar ula minayin legilgul shvua min haTorah. Where do we see that this idea that on the shvua deraisa modim mixas, you can add on a deraisa level a shvua on something that normally wouldn't be a shvua of modim mixas, for example, like on karka? So where do we see this? From Shinamar, we learn this out from Sota. It says v'amra isha amein amein. The woman has to say amein amein. She's being told that you didn't sin in any of the following ways, and she has to say amen, amen. She has to say yes, that is true, or she can actually state the shvua herself. Utnan, and we learned there in the Mishnah in Sota, what is she saying amen, amen to? Amahi omeres amen, amen. Exactly what is she swearing to by saying yes, amen means this is true. It is an absolutely correct statement. Amen means I agree with what you just said. So what is she saying amen, amen to? So the Mishnah Sota says, she's saying amen ala Allah. She's saying, yes, I agree that this curse will apply to me. If Rahman al-Sana committed adultery, so then this curse will apply. And in addition, amen ala Shvua. She's saying amen over here to the Shvua that she has to make, that she says, I understand that all these punishments of the Mei Sota will come to take effect on me if, in fact, I sinned. So she's attesting that she didn't sin, and she's attesting that the shvua should take effect. Furthermore, she says, amen, imiyish zeh. She's saying, not only am I agreeing that I didn't commit adultery, rachmana l'slam, with this man, but amen, imiyish acher, even another man that you're not accusing me of, I am saying, amen, that I didn't commit adultery with that other man. Likewise, amen, shelo sotisi. She's saying that, amen, that I didn't commit adultery when I was not only married to him, even when I was in Arusa, as well as in the Suwa, as well as the Shomeres Yavam, Uchinusa, or having been married after in Yibam. So she's saying, not only am I haven't committed adultery, is she swearing that she didn't commit adultery with the person that they're accusing of her with, the person that she closeted herself away with, but she's also stating that she didn't commit adultery while she was in Arusa, and that she didn't commit adultery with anybody else while she was in a Suwa, and if she was a Shomeres Yavam that had been taken in, she's saying, I didn't commit adultery while I was a Shomeres Yavam. Now, what exactly is the Arusa that we're talking about? Hi, Arusa, Hechidami. That she's saying that I didn't commit adultery while I was in Arusa, under what circumstance is that talking about? If you're telling me, Ilema, the Kone Lo, Kishi Arusa, that in fact the husband said to her, Kinoi, I want you not to be secluded with that man while she was in Arusa, and then the Komashki Lo, Kishi Arusa, and she closeted herself away with the man, she's still not in Asua, she's still in Arusa, she closeted herself away with the man, the two aid them to come, and he makes her drink the Mei Sota, that's just not true, that's not the Halacha, but not. We learned in a Mishnah in Sota that it says, Arusa v'shomeris yavim, a woman who's an Arusa, or a woman who's a shomeris yavim, never her husband passed away, they didn't have children, and she's waiting to be taken in Yibam. If the husband, either the yavim or the husband of the Arusa, does kinu during that period of time, and she then closets herself away during that period of time, lo shosa. She doesn't drink. She loses her ksuba, but she doesn't drink. The lo notelos ksuba. They're not entitled to take the ksuba. The Shomeres Yavam would lose her ksuba, and the Arusa would lose her ksuba. But what do you see? That they can't drink. So it can't be talking about over here that the kinui and the potential when she was closeted away with the person occurred while she was in Arusa. By definition, she wouldn't drink the Mei Sota, and she would lose her ksuba in that situation. And why is that, my timer? Because it says, Tachas Ishech Amar Rachmona Veleka. Because it says that the only time that she drinks the Mei Sota is when she's, quote, in the domain of her husband, after she is in a Suwa. And both the Shomeres Yavam case and the Arusa case, she's not yet Veleka. She's not yet under her husband, Tachas Ishech. In other words, she's not a full-fledged Nesua, and only a full-fledged Nesua goes and drinks the Mei Sota. So then, what is the Arusa case that we're talking about? Elo, the Gemara says, the Kani Lo Kishi Arusa. He did the Kinoi while she was in Arusa. Not a good sign for that marriage, but bottom line is that he told her while she was in Arusa, I don't want you to be closeted away with Yanko. And then, the Nistra Kishi Arusa, and she did closet herself away while she was with Yanko, and then the Komashki Lo Kishi Nesua. But then he married her anyway, and only now is taking her to the basement to go drink the Mei Sota when she's now in a Suwa. Oh, so in that situation, she's considered Tachas Yishech. But the Gemara says that can't be either, because in that situation, the husband did something terribly wrong. If she was a Sota, the Kinui and the Stira occurred while she was in Arusa, it's us of him to marry her. Mi Batki Lo Maya. And the words won't work in that situation, because the Pasuk says, the Nika Ish Me Avon Arachmana. And in this situation, he wasn't free of sin. The Niko Ish Me'avon, the only time the Mei Sota will work is if the husband is an Erel Chagai. If the husband's a bum, if the husband committed a sin, i.e. he married this woman who was an Arusa that he wasn't allowed to marry because she was having kinui and stira done while she was an arusa, and therefore it's awesome to marry her. And then he went to marry her so that the waters won't work. So that can't be what we're talking about, because v'niko ish me'avon omer achmona, and that didn't occur over here. Bisman she ish me'nuka me'avon, mayim bokim esishto. Ein ish me'nuka me'avon, ein mayim bokim esishto. The waters of the Beis Sota will only work on the, quote, adulterous woman, the Sota, only if the husband is deserving that they should work. In other words, if the husband didn't do any sin. But by marrying this arusa when it was awesome to marry her because of the kinui and stira, so then the waters won't work. So that can't be what it's talking about. So again, we're stuck. What is the case that she has to say amen that she didn't commit adultery while she was in arusa? Oh, you know what it is? Ella ayde gilgul. Oh, here we get to our proof. There is absolutely no kinui and stira done while she was in arusa. What in fact is that now the kinui and stira occurred after she was in a nesua, and through this concept of gilgul shvua, now the husband can say, not only did you not sin with me while we're in a suah, but I want you now to swear that you didn't still sin while you were a arusa. So we have it over here. Ashkan sota the isura. So we've given a case over here where this din applies with the sota, which is a din of isur. How do we know that there's gilgul shvua, however, with mamona minolon? That's for capital crimes, for isurim, so we've shown that there's gilgul shvua. How do we know that for monetary claims, there's also gilgul shvua midaraisa? So where it says, Tanu de'Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel, it's a kavu chomer. What is that? Uma sota, return to chokhes amad aleph. Shelo nitno l'hitova b'yed echad. A sota cannot be made to drink the mei sota if there's only one witness. If there's only one witness that said that she had stira, as opposed to this one witness that said she actually committed the averus and she doesn't drink the mei sota. But if there's only one witness that said that she had stira, so then in that situation, she can't be forced to drink the mei sota. Shelo nitno l'hitova b'yed echad. Nevertheless, Megaglin, we do allow, as we just proved, that there is a Gilgul Shvua midaraisa for the Sota. So certainly, Kavachomer, Mamon, a monetary matter, which if there is one witness, Shinita only Tava B'edichot, if one witness has said that Reuven, you did borrow money from Shimon, so even though that one witness can't make Reuven have to pay, that one witness can make Reuven have to make a Shvua, that no, I didn't borrow the money from Shimon, or I paid him back, and I don't owe Shimon the money. So there, by Sota, one witness can't make a drink the May Sota. Yet by money, one witness can make him have to make a shvua. So therefore, eino din shemagaglin. By sota, there's gilgul shvua. So then certainly by monetary matters, kal v'chomer, there should be a din of gilgul shvua. Okay, Mor says, great. Ashko mivadai. We have both over here by the sota and by the monetary claims that there could be gilgul shvua, but that's because it's a vadai. In this situation, we're dealing with a vadai claim. What about a sofek claim? Sofek, how do we know that by a sofek, there's also a concept of gilgul shvua? So it says Tanya, because we have a braisa. Rishimu Yochai tells us, Nemro shvua bachutz. We have the din of shvua in regards to regular shvuas that a beis din makes all the time. The Nemro shvua bifnim. And we have a shvua in regards to the sota that's called bifnim inside the beis hamikdash. So ma shvua amura bifnim, also basofe kivadai, inside in the beis hamikdash, when you make the shvua, that's because we don't know. It's a sofek. Was she in fact committing rachmona luslan adultery, or was she not committing adultery? So we nevertheless make the sofek situation into a vade situation. We do gilgul shvua. So too a shvua amura b'chutz. So too a shvua that's an outside beis din, even though we're not 100% sure that the dealings, the financial dealings went through. It's only a sofek. So nevertheless, also basafek kivadai, we do make a gilgul shvua even in the case of safek. So now we have sources for gilgul shvua in all of the scenarios. Mara now questions further about gilgul shvua. Ad hechon gilgul shvua. How far do we go in order to make a gilgul shvua oath? What do we mean by that? So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says the Amalei, we even go make a gilgul shvua so far to say that he shavali, that the person can say, I want you to also add on to the shvua that you owe me, she'ein avyata, that you are not my servant. Now, more questions, that's a very strange thing. How shamute mishamtinale? If somebody else accuses somebody of being a eved, we'll see in a moment, it means an eved kenani, so then in this situation, we put the guy in chayrim. If you have the chutzpah to go and accuse somebody else of being an eved without having proof of that, so then we put you in chayrim, in shamta, because that's a terrible thing to call somebody else a slave. The Tanya, because the Braisa says, hakori lechaveru eved, if somebody just calls his friend an eved, because he's a friend, he calls another person an eved, yay benidoy, that person who called the other person an eved is put into nidoy. Again, he has no proof whatsoever, he just calls him an eved, so he gets put into nidoy because he did a terrible thing. He's declaring that that guy is an eved. And in this situation, we are going to allow, so far so, that there would have to be a Gilgul Shvuah over here. The Gemara question is, how can you say there's a Gilgul Shvuah? If you put the guy into Shanta, you can tell me he has to make a Gilgul Shvuah? Doesn't make any sense. So, the Tanya, Kori L'Chavir Eved, Yehi B'Nidah, we put him into Nidah, so certainly we're not going to say that the person who's being called an Eved has to make a Shvuah that he's not an Eved. Or, Mamzer, if he says, first he says to his friend, you're a Mamzer, so we give him lashes, so fake as our boy. Now, it technically means over here, the 39 lashes, the Malkus, of 39, but it really means over here Malkus Mardus. This is talking about Malkus the Rabbanan, because as Rashi says, Hayukonsin Makus Mardus, the Nicha Le Ha Minidoi. This is easier than putting somebody into Chayim, into Shanta. But he called him Mamzer, so that's not as bad as calling him an Eved. So by calling him an Eved, we put him into Nidoi. And for doing, quote, a lesser Adla of calling him a Mamzer, we put him into a situation where he gets Malkus Mardus, rabbinical lashes. If a person calls another person a Rasha, so then Yorid Imo L'chayev. So in that situation, we let you, quote, get back at him for calling you a Rasha by allowing him to do things that might otherwise not be allowed in terms of business. As Rashi says, Klomar, Luzu ain't based in this kark. And based in doesn't get involved over here. They don't give rabbinical lashes, and they certainly don't make him into Shamta. Avul humuto l'sano. So the person who's being called a Rasha has the halachic right to hate the other person, and therefore, v'af l'mayit parnasaso. He could go do things to that other person's parnasa, v'leirei lumnasa. We could maybe open up a shop right next to the other guy where there normally would be a din of hasagas gvul. So here, those dinim may not apply. The exact parameters of this are machlokas elsewhere, and we'll leave it for now. But the bottom line is, how can you tell me that there's gilgul shvuah if somebody says, Reuven calls Shimon an Eved Kenani, and he also has a shvuah on Shimon, so that Shimon would have to go and swear that he's also not an Eved Kenani when we would put Reuven in Nidoy. It doesn't make any sense that we should then ask Shimon to still make a shvuah. So this Gilgul shvuah doesn't make any sense. So El Amar Rava, what is the case of Gilgul shvuah? How far do we go? El Amar Rava, he shavali shalonim kar to libi Eved Ivri. It's when Reuven is saying to Shimon, okay, you owe me a shvuah on modu b'miktsas, and I also want you to swear that you're not my Eved Ivri. Now, an Eved Ivri is not such a terrible thing, but here it's purely a financial matter. I paid you $600 to work with me for 600 years, $100 a year. So you're saying you're not my Eved Ivri, so swear that you're not my Eved Ivri, and then this will be the Gilgul Shvuah that we're talking about. Now, this is not as bad as calling somebody an Eved Kenani. Calling somebody an Eved Kenani means you're basically saying that they're not Jewish. Hey, you're saying, yeah, you're a full-fledged Jew, but you owe me money. So therefore, that could be a Gilgul Shvuah. So Gemara says, Hai tanosa ma'yasehi, mamona is legabe. So again, why would you think that this isn't allowed? This is a regular case of Gilgul Shvuah for financial matters. So Gemara says, Rava Tamei, Rava saying the big chiddush over here is as follows, because the Amar Rava holds Eved Ivri Gufo Konoi, that there is an aspect over here of the Eved Ivri also being Gufo Konoi. It's not just a financial obligation, but there's a shtickle, there's a little piece over here of the Eved Ivri that's also Konoi, and therefore that is the chiddush that Rava is making, according to the opinion that holds that an Eved Ivri is Gufo Konoi. We had this machlokas a week or so ago. So according to the opinion, says Eved Ivri Gufo Konoi, so then that's a big deal over here, and that's how far we go. Ad Heichon Gilgul Shvuah, to even go and make it, that the person would have to make a Gilgul Shvuah on the fact that he's not an Eved Ivri. So Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Hainu Karka. So then now you're saying that the Eved Ivri is the same as essentially Karka, that Gufo Konoi, so then just say Karka. Why are you telling me over here the Gilgul Shvuah is for an Eved Ivri? So Gemara says, no, it's different than Karka. I would have said, Karka, who the of the inshe, the mizvane bitzino. You know why you can't have to make Gilgul Shvuah on Karka? Because not everybody knows about it. Sometimes a real estate deal is a private deal. They didn't write a shtar up on it. It's not in the title domain because they didn't write up a shtar on it. And therefore, there's no lien on the property. And therefore, the of the inshe, mizvane bitzino, since sometimes people sell it very privately. So therefore, in Isa, the zabit, in this situation, if there's some sort of a machlokas over here, less lay kala. If he, in fact, sold it, so it wouldn't be well known, and therefore there could be a Gilgul Shvuah on Karka. That's obvious. However, high in the case of the Eved Ivri, im iso d'zabin, if in fact somebody was sold as an Eved Ivri, kolo isli. Everybody knows that, and therefore one might have thought that you wouldn't have to make a Gilgul Shvuah on that, kamash v'lon. No, Rav is telling us, the Chiddush over here, that Gilgul Shvuah even extends to something which is well known, like an Eved Ivri. Nevertheless, one could demand the Gilgul Shvuah even in that scenario. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we got down to the Mishnah, almost the full Amud Aleph, the Chofetz Chetz Amud Aleph. Yitzhak Hashem will pick up over here by the new Mishnah tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.